K-Rock.
Thank you, Danny Elfman. We're talking about Disney Nightmare Before Christmas coming to the Hollywood Bowl. I was going to say again this year, and I guess that's technically correct, but as you mentioned, you took last year off, so this is very exciting. It's the film's 25th anniversary.
Yeah, last year we actually did Dia de los Muertos in Mexico City.
Ah,
Wow. And that was fun.
Super fun. Let me give out the ticket on sale information before we run out of time. Tickets go on sale to the public this Saturday morning, September 8th at 10 a.m. through Ticketmaster. But there is a K-Rock pre-sale. You know how we do with the free password. Just go to krock.com, sign up, make sure you get the password, and you can buy tickets starting this Friday, September the 7th at noon.
Okay? And I've been, and it's great, great fun. Mm-hmm.
And it is great fun.
I can't wait. I haven't seen it. Is it?
It's pretty good. Yeah, Chuck's all right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Danny, what did you think of, I don't believe last time we had you on, I don't remember if it was out or not, but what did you think of the cover album of The Nightmare Before Christmas with Fiona Apple and Panic at the Disco and Korn and all those doing your songs?
I was just, you know, amazed that all these artists were doing that.
That and they would?
Yeah, that they would. I just couldn't believe it. I was like, wow. I mean, the range of people coming in and doing it, and it was really flattering, you know, and to the extreme.
Really? That's interesting, because you knew they were great songs. Obviously, they've held the, you know, they've stood the test of time.
I never know that. I just know I did it, and it's, you know, done. And I don't know.
Even long afterwards, you can't look at something and go, that was great.
No. I could always, I look at back at anything I've done forever. If I look back and I go, I could have done that better. That's why I had a policy with Oingo Boingo, and then with the film scores, I never listen to anything. Once it's recorded and I've approved like a mix and a mastering, I'll never listen to it again.
Really?
Wow. So yeah. Do you even go to premieres where your music's in a movie?
Well, no, I'm at the premiere, but okay. That's usually still just as we're putting everything together. Right. I've usually barely finished a soundtrack album. But I mean, like, when I did Elfman Burton, 25th anniversary, and I put together suites for 15 movies, it was the first time I'd listened to each of those scores since I'd done them, and it was really strange.
Wow. And were you judging them the whole time? Like, ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't have done that.
God, what a horrible recording that was.
And so what about when you're at home and you're flipping around your TV and Mars Attacks is on? Will you stop for a minute or will you avoid that because you know, oh, I'm going to hear some of my music if I keep it on this channel?
It depends. Sometimes I'll stop for a minute, but my wife and I, we both have a thing. It's like, you know, she's an actress, and if one of her movies comes on, she'll say, no, turn. And usually if one of my movies come on, I go, she wants to watch it. And I'll go, I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear this. This was a terrible dub. It'll just get me angry. So we kind of have a thing with each other, because I want to watch the movie she was in.
Of course, sure.
And, you know, so we have to turn the channel if either of our work comes on.
That is really funny. All right, true or false, Danny Elfman, Nightmare Before Christmas was not a big hit when it came out 25 years ago?
It wasn't. It was one of those rare things that got a second life. When it came out, nobody knew what it was. Disney didn't know what it was. Nobody knew how to market it. It was so different than anything they had ever done.
Did it come out as a Halloween movie or a Christmas movie back then?
I don't even remember, but I know that they were massively confused, which makes sense. And to their credit, they realized years later that this thing had developed this cult following and was actually growing. And it was actually when Tim and I went to Tokyo for Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and we saw Nightmare merchandise everywhere we went, every toy store.
That had to be so shocking.
And Tim was like, I've never seen most of this stuff. And Disney got involved again. I'll tell you, a lot of companies just wouldn't have we did that. It happened. It's over. But they really picked up the ball. And now we know what it is. Now we know what to do with it. And they started re-releasing it, and they really got behind it. So it's just, there are so few movies that ever gets a second life.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, there's a few like Donnie Darko or maybe Rocky Horror Picture Show. It's just very, very rare.
Yeah.
So I was really sad when it came out, and it just kind of came and went very quickly, because I'd put so much work, because even though the songs went easy, I'd still worked on it for over 2 years.
Right.
Between when it was started and finished. And that,
but that must happen to you a lot, though, because you're not responsible for how good or bad the movie is. You've done great scores for films that turned out to not, reach a wide audience.
I'm used to spending forever a ton of effort on a movie that's gone in a weekend, you know. But this one with the songs and everything else and producing the music over such a period of time, going back in constantly and re-updating vocals and changing things to, you know, for Henry Selick in the picture, I was much more attached to the usual. It's what happens in animation. And I feel really lucky with Nightmare that it just kind of got a revived life.
Did you have to call Disney and say, hey, there's something going on here? Or did they just sort of see it themselves?
Well, I don't know if Tim and Disney had conversations. I think they just picked up on it.
You do? Yeah. That's amazing.
And it is amazing. It's just very lucky and rare.
Are they incorporating any Nightmare Before Christmas stuff into the theme parks?
Oh, yes.
Well, Disneyland, the Haunted Mansion, becomes a big Nightmare Jack Skellington kind of thing. It's
all
great.
Jack all the time. Just walking all around. Yeah. It's one of my favorite times at Disneyland.
They really do, and they've got merchandising out. I think they've really done a good job in kind of like...
But you don't go because you worked on it.
No, I've gone.
You have gone.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
All right.
You hated every minute of it, right?
No. I mean, that was different because that was a whole different thing. And I love the Haunted Mansion, and I really wanted to see what did they do to the Haunted Mansion to kind of nightmarize it. It wasn't like listening to a score. It was really just seeing something totally different. And I was really curious, and I took my son, and, you know.
That's very cool to see something that iconic change for you.
Yeah, it's amazing that they can change it over like that and change it back. I mean, it's not like, just take about one day, flip it over.
Right.
It's a little more involved switch than that. Yeah.
The full orchestra and choir is going to be there. You have some special guests joining you again this year from the film as well, Danny?
Well, Catherine O'Hara, of course, playing Sally. Ken Page doing his Oogie Boogie. And even in the background singers that are joining us, there are some members of the original cast.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, fun.
Yeah. Wow.
That's great. All right. October 26th, October 27th. Tickets are going on sale to the public this Saturday at 10 a.m. However, K-Rock Street Team members, as you know, you get that pre-sale for free. Just go to krock.com for all the details. You'll be able to buy tickets on Friday, September 7th, for two shows that will sell out at the Hollywood Bowl this October. All right. Anything else you want to share with us, Danny, before we let you go? Thank you, Danny.
You're welcome.
We enjoyed it.
It's always fun to have you in.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
The Kevin and Bean Show, the world famous K-Rock.